Hello, all of you, the chat listeners. Tonight is our special top five episode as voted by you, the listeners. The majority of you in our Twitter poll voted for top five couples. So we are here as the co-host to give you our picks, plus a secret honorable mention. Before we dive into everything, let's chat with our co-host a little bit. Dee, how are you?
Fabulous, darling. Fabulous. Such an old school fantasy. In between grading newspapers, so you already know I'm ready to be bitch-tastic.
Well, trust me, it didn't take Dynasty to get you there.
All right.
And then the always so lovely, always so grand, Alan, how are you?
Well, I'm still alive, so pretty good.
And then the man that we love who has a voice that makes you want to read the terms and conditions, Rodrigo, how are you?
I'm doing good, Casey. Working from home, enjoying some classic Young and the Restless this week. Very excited about that. So, yeah, I'm having a good time.
And then the Drusilla Winters of this podcast, who I gave my CBS All Access info to, Tiggs, how are you?
I am doing fabulous.
Well, I'm doing good as well, and let's just jump right in. Dee, let's go back to you. Who comes in at number five on your top five all-time favorite soap opera couples?
Okay, I did my list a little bit differently. I said that I wanted to think outside of the box and not be the ones that everybody's going to expect me to do. Or the ones that, like, I feel like you're required by law to send, like, Victor, you know, Jalena, you know, there's just, like, some that you're just like, duh. So I'm like, well, let me think outside the box. I had a whole tier system going on because, you know me, I have nothing better to do with my time.
God.
Number five, I'm just saying, this was really hard. I had to sit there, I was like, I can only do five. And so it got a little bit rough for me. Number five, I chose Kyle Summers. On Young and the Restless.
Okay.
I chose Colin Summer because I've rode with this couple through, four Kyles, two, three summers. I mean, like, part of the tier was how long have I been shipping a couple. So I had to go in there and start looking at the gears, and I'm like, I even rode through with that weird-looking Kyle number two. That's some of that escape. He was good on the other TV show he's on, but when he was Kyle Newman, I was like, it's a no. But I chose this couple because they have that Victor effect. They have that super couple in training going on with them. Like, they have angst, they have love. I mean, Michael Miller, they finally got a Kyle. I could be like, okay, I would give up my part of my kidney to be married to him. Yeah, I would do it. So I was like, okay, they got it right. And Summer, say what you will about Mal Young. Ever since Summer came back with a different attitude, you know how Summer was before. Just always the victim, you know, always just daddy's little girl, Victor's little whatever. You know, just always Newman now, Newman forever. I'm going to be a little princess. And whiny, you know, the complaints that people used to have about Summer. I still grow with her through all of that. But now Summer has had chance bite. She's with Kyle. They got that little chemistry going on. And, I mean, they do open mouth kisses, yo. I'm down for that. I'm like, it actually feels real when you're watching them do a love scene. So, number five, me and Kyle and Summer.
Very nice. Okay, I actually do like that reasoning. Rodrigo, what about you? Do you have the same choice at number five, or are we going with something different?
I'm going to take it way back. Number five is Neil Winters and Drusilla Barbara.
Yes.
The way Bill Bell set up those two together, you had Drusilla, the girl from the wrong side of the tracks. She's trying to get into Genuine City Society, and she meets this Harvard-educated brother who wants to be the big businessman at Newman or Jabot. I forgot where he was at the beginning, but the way way those two came together, and it was opposites attract. The chemistry between Christoph St. John and Victoria Raoul, Say What You Want, the behind-the-scenes rumors be damned. When those two were on screen together, they worked magic on screen. And if you watched one of the classic episodes a few weeks back, Neil and Drew's honeymoon, you saw, like, Bill Bell gave those two, like, it was inspired. And they had storylines for years. The big storyline that everyone goes and talks about is the sleeping pill incident with Malcolm, which kind of, like, really propelled that couple, because that secret lingered for years. And it was, Bill Bell dangled that secret like a carrot for years with that couple. So,
yes.
And when it was finally revealed years later, just the acting between Christoph and Victoria, this was magic, electric. And then my Drusilla just went diving down the mountain, down to the river, in some bad CGI. They did my girl wrong. Oh, Lord. Okay. And that was it. And then Neil never found anyone else better than Drusilla after that. They tried to pair him with everybody in Black Hollywood. And then Mama. And it did not work. White Hollywood, Black Hollywood. Christoph never, and God rest his soul, he never found the magic, the partner that he had in Victoria. And it's just a shame that, you know, CBS never worked it out. And it's just a shame. And that's my number five, is Neil and Drew.
Alan, what about you? Who comes in your number five slot?
My number five is Coop and Ashley from Guiding Light.
Aww.
They were so cute. And you ever see the hot guy with the big girl at Mushroom Soaps? Who said, I love that scene where he pops the door and we're on the couch here to watch a movie. It was cute, right? I'm so pissed till they broke up and they fucking made my Coop a granny sucker when he dies. Still bitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't have expected anybody to pick that as a choice, but I love that came in your number five. Oh, I miss Guiding Light. Tiggs, what about you? Who you got?
My number five is Shia.
Ugh.
I love so much. And James, you can kiss my ass. We're not getting back together in the end. And yes, I know some people are going to point out on Twitter, well, they just end up giving the best life shit. I don't give a fuck. I'm talking about now. Him ending up with fancy, you know, fancy wasn't supposed to be, but no. That's what we were told. And we were supposed to be shared. But he ends up fancy, and they bring back Antonio's dry ass at a consolation prize share. Oh, the love of my life! Blah, blah, blah! That pissed me off. No. Did they have shared the scheme and be the best one of these shit? This ain't warm, my cousin. I waited 9 long years and didn't get what I was promised. There's not Jamie White to kiss my ass.
Well, coming in at number five for me is a couple from All My Children, and it's the man that I consider to be the only man who ever was right for Erica Kane, and that couple is Erica Kane and Dimitri Merrick.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. I don't believe that old Jackson Montgomery Watt Willie was the right choice for Erica. Well, so.
Well, she wasn't making up at the end. She's the one to be a model in Hollywood.
And she wanted to catch up to Sam, and Jack said, fuck it.
Okay, defend her, though. Defend her,
though. Well, no, I'm going to talk to Dimitri, too, though.
Well, and okay, so my only, before I get into why I think Erica and Dimitri deserve that spot, I'm just going to say I love Jackson a lot. But, you know, Erica Kane is just one of those characters that doesn't need to grow up. And I feel as though Jackson did always pressure her to be anybody but herself. And I don't like that. I think Jackson was very oppressive to who Erica was as a feminist and as a woman. And I, you know, it's
Jackson was not. It was that bitch ass trend. That was nowhere, huh?
So anyway, so yes, I love Erica and Dimitri and the cabin and when Kendall came on and I love, you know, the real anchor for their love to me was Erica felt that she could open up to Dimitri about her sexual assault. And she only opened up to Eric about that only. So Dimitri was the only other person to know what she went through. And then I loved when Erica, they did her drug addiction story from Jonathan getting her addicted on those meds. And then Dimitri saved her from that after she checked herself into Betty Ford. And then we had, even though I didn't like the plot, it just showed you Dimitri was there in the end when it came to the whole Maria thing and Erica acted like Maria's baby was a baby from Russia. I didn't like that, but
I loved it.
That's
there was
something.
One motherfucking baby. Erica said, oh, you gonna get pregnant by my husband?
I ain't gonna lie, that was some bold storytelling.
That was some bold storytelling. Yeah. Say Maria is a push-up bro.
You have the star of your show doing some villainous shit. Like, Erica, that was some prime villainy for Erica to do that to Maria.
And then she had people from Brooklyn. You know, when they found out. That was good, though. That was good.
But it was good.
And I even loved when they weren't married that Dimitri was there for Bianca's anorexia story. And, you know, yeah, he and Erica ended things very civilly and still knew. Look, all I'm saying, Erica still knew that that man was the best thing that ever happened to her. So you can take your Jackson and his rusty old briefcase and move on.
Hell was that Erica was there. Let her grandchildren call her grandma. Shit.
And Jackson should have let her take that damn movie at 7.
Ridiculous. I'm like, Erica, everything Bianca was doing to Miranda, she can't call you grandma. Put your ass there.
You know.
And
that's why I hated it more, because you know. You know, a 70-year-old can't get a movie role. So the fact that Erica got that damn movie about herself, Jackson should have let her go on and do it.
Mm.
Oh, but anyway, yeah,
he can let her be great.
Thank you, D. But anyway.
Every time she tried to be great, it blew up in her goddamn
thing. That's part of being Erica Kane, though. That is part of being Erica Kane.
Exactly. You don't get to where Erica Kane was.
I remember that damn doppelganger, that Jane.
Can I be honest?
That was the stupidest storyline ever.
The only thing I liked about that storyline, because I never have laughed so hard at a soap opera in my life, was when she was at that restaurant with David, and David ordered Erica's favorite dish, and Jane took a bite, and she said, I can't breathe. And David's like, what do you mean? And he was going to withhold taking her to the fucking hospital until she told him what was going on. Damn it all, my children. Damn. Anyway. I miss it so much. Well, Tiggs, who comes in at number 4 for you?
Number 4 for me is my dimension. My shit. Why do I don't have a pocket? Yeah, we gotta meet that day. Okay, Neil and True. Divine Hillary. Fuck you, Mal Young. Did it have a pops of cups? But like Nick and Sharon are one of the only ones that are from the show about Victor and Nick that can still make do what it do. I don't give a damn about Lauren and Hubby or Michael.
No!
Damn it. No. I love Nick and Sharon, and just like really, the only time I can tolerate it was when people share. I don't like when anybody else. I can tolerate it. Other than that, Nick was falling to a fucking volcano like that. I don't care. If it feels normal, then no. If it feels like they've never had substance, they've never had rolling, they're sex and video games. Nobody cares. No. I need more than sexual chemistry. I need romance. I need substance. I need a story. And at the end of the day, Nick and Phyllis will never accept each other who the other is. So it will never work. Never. He needs to be in charge. I don't give a shit what John Lamar is talking about. Shut up!
Tell him, James. Alrighty then. Well, D, who do you have at number four?
My number four was a little challenging. This one didn't go on longevity. This one was based solely on chemistry. Now, everybody that knows me knows I used to be a little Twitter thug for Jason. Everybody knows it. Then, when Jason went and knocked up Elizabeth, I got off that Jason train for a long time. Then, not even funny. It was more to get mad at Leotard fans whenever I was a Sharon Tate fan. I'll be the first one to admit it. I'm petty like that. It took a while. Jason was trash to me when he went into that harbor. He was trash. He was trash because he left Sam pregnant at that hotel. And at the mercy of John Spain, you know I can't stand. But when Jason came back, once he got away from Elizabeth, before we found out that he wasn't Jason, yeah, my number four is Sam and Drew. But they had chemistry. Like, when he was Jason, he put her first. She was number one. She said, fuck Carly, fuck Sonny, fuck the mob. I'm with my family. He's like, I want to be a man. I want to be your man. He put Sam first. You know what? Y'all know where my Twitter hashtag is. You know where my Twitter, you know where my is. You know where my everything is. Come for me. I don't care. I've been fighting the good fight for years. I will say that Drew was the best man for Sam.
I'm an OG
J-Sam fan. Don't get it twisted. Now, Shamanos and Tequila, that was my theme. That was my couple. But they are not the same. I can deal with Drew. Drew put Sam first. She was number one. She got to do the adventurous stuff, but she still got to be a mom. And now they have her out here looking like an old sis mama. Her kids are being raised by Monica. We used to talk about Elizabeth and how Graham was always watching her kids. And now her kids, Sam's kids over there living with Monica at their Quartermain mansion. And I'm sitting here like, where is my Sam? Cat poop Sam, when she kicked Sonny. She kicked Sonny, shot him, and kicked him down off of that thing. That was the highlight of my existence. We gotta know that was gonna be the best that Kelly Monica was gonna get. What old boy came over that scout, down from that skyline? Oh, God.
That's why I'm never like
the
double. Like, she lost her identity with Jason. Every little thing she has been able to do herself. But look now. Sam, 45 years old, two kids. She done lost her whole identity. She know nothing else matter but Jason. She's pathetic.
She's about to go back like
she's always pathetic. I will forever be disappointed they never play this triangle with Jason, Sam, and Drew, because
they should have.
It was right there on paper. It was right there, and they did not think with it.
We could be
just like
years of story.
It languished for a year,
and you see them on the soap magazine and say, we're going to play, but there's going to have to be other stories to play. What other stories were there to play? That was the A story. That was your A story.
It's like your old love versus your new love. That was classic soap opera goodness, and they dropped the ball so bad on this.
Well, look at your pinned tweet.
But that's because she always steps out of her character when it can't be. Same thing with Sam. A woman doesn't have to step out of her character to be with a man, but somebody as simple as Jason. It's too damn simple. You ain't got so much. But why do you have to, like, step outside of yourself to be with a fucking Jason?
Have to twist yourself in the knot just to be with
a man.
That's why I chose Drew and Sam, because she got to be herself. She still got to have the adventures. She still got to be responsible. She got to grow up and have, like, a family and a home and respectability. And all of those things, she had that with Drew. Now, they can go back and they can try to rewrite it and say that she wasn't happy and blah, 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 to bring back, you know, I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm going to be the one person that's not going to trash Steve Burton for anything he does or says in his regular life. But it's just the changes that came from Sam. And if you look at it dispassionately, with me taking my little shipping out of it, Sam is not herself anymore. She can't be herself. And she grew up and now they're forcing her back. They're forcing her back into something that does not work.
Alan, who do you have at number four?
My number four is Yvonne and Hillary. They were hot. I still remember that scene where, like, you know, walked in while his fucking wife was, but he had his fucking daughter said ball of pee in her. They don't really do stuff like that now. She got so, it's just so fucking tame. Like, all people, they won't even look. People stuck, they just kissed down, and I didn't hear a big deal about it. But that was really scandalous. They had chemistry, people were rooting for them, but then Val had to fucking kill Hillary because he's a fucking bitter little bitch.
Well, Tiggs, who do you have at number four?
That was number three, eh?
That was me.
Oh, sorry. Rodrigo, I'm so sorry. Go on ahead.
Well, my number four is, I'm taking it back again, because, I mean, I gotta take it back. My number four is Jack and Carly Snyder.
Aww. Car Jack. Happy birthday, Mara West.
Happy birthday, boo. Happy birthday, queen. Michael Park. The chemistry, the storylines those two had. Over 10 years of storylines for those two, right to the end of the show. And it's just the chemistry between Mara West and Michael Park. Carly, the bad girl from the wrong side of the tracks, and Michael and Jack Snyder with the G-Man FBI agent, and those two crossing paths, and you just knew it was love at first sight. Just the way the first time they looked at each other, I was like, yup. They're going to do something with those two, and they just had storylines for years, so I just miss those two. My dream is always, I always say, is for Michael Park to be on stage as a love address, because the chemistry that those two can take anywhere, and they are my number four, and I miss that little friend. I miss that couple.
Well, coming in at number four for me is also a couple from a very missed soap opera, and that is Mac and Rachel from Another World. You know, it's quite interesting with these two because, you know, before Mac, Rachel's main story, of course, as we all know, was Steve, Alice, and Rachel. And so to have her thrusted into something completely different after basically her whole story being around that triangle was amazing. And, you know, Mac was really somebody to tame Rachel and let her grow into this mother and this patriarch and somebody who loved without scheming after a long time, because there were stole schemes with those two, you know, especially when Iris came into play. And to me, Iris kind of always had this gross thing going on with her dad. I felt Iris loved her daddy a little more than just being old dad back. But, you know, through three marriages and a coma for Mac and Mac's untimely demise when our dear sweet Douglas Watson left us. I mean, just amazing. And they had children, and he bought her that beautiful mansion for their wedding, and everything was beautiful for that couple through the years. And, you know, it's quite amazing. I think Mac and Rachel really set up the modern day super couple template from the 80s on, because, you know, you look at it, people always credit Luke and Laura with that, but I really think it was Mac and Rachel, because a lot of people said, oh, you know, if it's a super couple, they should get married three times at the most, like Mac and Rachel, and they should have these specific templates, along with a factor that maybe isn't always a love triangle. Maybe it's a triangle in the family from somebody who hates the person who has come in. I mean, Dynasty did the Mac and Rachel template. Crystal wasn't necessarily a schemer, but Fallon, being the daughter of a rich businessman, hated Crystal. So, I mean, the template has been used over and over again, and I think it was really mined from the wonderful stories of Mac and Rachel. So that is my number four. Dee, who do you have at number three?
For number three, you already know, I got to go to my little struggle soap. I have to go to Bald and the Beautiful. You already know I always got to ride hard for my little show. And I know I'm going to piss a whole bunch of people off, but most of the people that I'm going to piss off already have me blocked on Twitter anyway, so I don't care. My number three was Taylor and Ridge.
Yes!
They were my couple.
Yes! Fuck you, Brooke!
They were shit for me. I was like, you know what? Eric Forster is a hoe. You know, I was always rooting for Stephanie. I was like, get your Stephanie. You know, now y'all already know. Y'all know how I feel about Brooke Logan, bruh. We're not even gonna go there, because I said I wasn't gonna drag that woman anymore. It's gonna be a long summer. But Taylor and Ridge were fire. you cannot say that they weren't fired.
Yes.
Stephanie did like Taylor at first, so you had that little angst going on. Hunter, Kylo, baby, there was nobody prettier on daytime. I think the only person that maybe came close was, what's her face? Lisa Caruso that was on, she was on Another World, and she was on that ABC show that I love, but... She was beautiful. You know who I'm talking about. She was beautiful. He was, well, I mean, he's Ron Moss, but he was attractive then. Like, people are now like,
then.
You can say that. What the fuck?
Oh, please, y'all take Ron Moss back any day over that damn floor, okay?
Hey, you be quiet. You leave my ESR alone. Shut up. But,
exactly. That's
who you alone.
I wished he would have drowned in that seawater.
They don't know that I was TTS, so let's let this go. But just them together, just Brooke always, like, they had their little family action going. I mean, they were a family. I mean, when they didn't know that Thomas was Rich's son, and then when Jack came out, and then when the girl came
yes.
back from the dead, then she was over there in that little foreign country with
Prince Alma!
Little belly she is why you know what? My grandmother is the grease, and I swear to you, up until I started watching Bold and Beautiful, you never would have saw me belly dancing. I saw Taylor do it one time. I was like, you know what, Grandma? I'm ready to learn, and I'm still doing it. So I'm saying, like, literally, she changed the whole course of my life. She was beautiful. He was, I mean, like, you had the fashion show when he proposed to her on that runway, baby. You can show me food. I was like, yes. And the thing on Brooke's face, I was like, eat it, hoe.
What are you saying?
Like, I mean, like, every single time they get back together, it's magic, and they always keep saying, destiny, that is trash. I know there's some behind-the-scenes action stuff going on, because there is no way that they should not be together right now. I don't care. This is the hell I'm gonna die, and Taylor and Bridge were everything.
Yeah, but I will say, Torsi K got more chemistry with Talent on the Tower and Catherine Kelly Lane. I will say that.
Well, and I always preferred Brooke and Eric as opposed to Brooke and Ridge.
I always prefer Brooke and Nick. Shit.
Oh, yeah. If you want to talk about outside the force defense, yeah.
Brooke and Nick were
in. Yeah.
I never get what I want on this show. But, Tyler Ridge, that was the ticket right there. And you know what? When Steffi was lighting up Brooke and trying to steal Bill and all this other stuff, I'm like, you know what? The only thing that I hate about Bold and Beautiful now is that Steffi is not keeping that same energy. It should have been on site for life for Brooke for what she did to her family. That has hurt those Logies and what they've done to her family. I mean, her sister and everything else that went down. It should be on site for life. I'm like, man, the only thing that I wanted was for her to snatch Brooke. To take Brooke's gun just because she could. That was the only thing that I didn't seriously get. I would have been happy. I would have been so happy she snapped her golden child that can do no wrong. This whole stuff is a rewrite, baby, because we already know that Brooke's favorite was Little Rick. Was Little Eric. Let's keep it real. Let's go. Whatever.
See, and I wanted them to...
Not when she's Little Rick talk to
him. No, she... That was the wild stuff right there. But I'm saying, like, that little boy ran that whole marriage. Let me stop.
Now, Dee, I want to ask you real quick, because, you know, for some reason, Brad can never get it right with Hunter for alleged behind-the-scenes issues. Would you be okay if the show recast Taylor?
Hell no!
Okay, I was just asking, because I wouldn't be either, but I was just asking for your opinion.
He needs to suck it up. He needs to suck it up, and I would tell him to his face, you better suck it up and get her back on there. You want those ladies? You keep on pushing triangles with Brooke, Bill, and Ridge is not it. I'm sorry, that is not it. If you want a real triangle, get Taylor up in there. Get the real OG Taylor, okay? I'm like, you know who I'm talking about. There's only one Hunter Tyler. There's only one. Boy, you
hey,
can't start
cutting up in here. I don't know why somebody even tried.
He tried it with me today.
Rodrigo, who's coming in for you at number three?
Well, my number three is debated from a lot of fandoms, but I thought Jack Hammersley was fire from the beginning. That is EJ Zamara, Samantha Jean Brady, a.k.a. EJM.
EJM, baby!
Yeah!
Well, what can you say? Okay, it started off very controversial. We all know how it started.
We get it. I get it.
But the way these writers slipped it around, and the chemistry that James and Allison had, it's just, you couldn't beat it. And those two, I like a couple that's like, I don't like perfect couple. I don't like the lovey-dovey couple. I don't like that shit. I like a down and dirty, like, in your face.
Yeah.
Those two did so much damage to each other. But it was like, you wanted more of it. You're like, what else are they going to do to each other? You had Sammy shooting this man in his head. EJ marrying Nicole right in front of Sammy's face for spite. You had all types of stuff. EJ cheating on Sammy with Abby. And I mean, that was the hottest story. I mean, that was hot to me because it just brought more dysfunction that I loved with these two. But at the end of the day, EJ accepted Sammy for who she was. No matter what, he was the first man, and I would say maybe since
the only man.
Brandon maybe tried it, but he couldn't even deal with it. Lucas always had something to say about Stan. He always had something to say. Always was being judgmental towards her, even though he did the same shit she did. EJ was the first man that just accepted Samantha for who she was. The way you call her Samantha. I love it. Her full government name. That's your
her
name.
Full government.
You are not Sammy. That's a little girl's name. You are Samantha. And like, but the way they ended that couple, just a pettiness of the mind is, was uncalled for, and then I know Ron tried his best to, like, give us a little prize or something with the Band-Aid TJ, but I wasn't. If I didn't have my James God back on here, I didn't want it. But I have the memories of EJ and Sammy. I don't know. You never know one day. You never know what could happen. Allison Sweeney's on her way back to the show, so who knows what. Like Ron has planned in the future, so. But EJ and Sammy, that was my couple. Number three.
Great pick. Alan, what about you? Who's coming in at number three?
My number three is a couple moves, slightly another Dateline, which is Ben Sierra.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. I love him so much that I wrote a fucking fanfic where Sierra blew Ben in a hotel room. Yeah, that's what you like, but I very rarely have a white fanfic I wrote. They inspired me so much. They're so hot. And the thought of Ben up Bo Hope's little girl, the serial killer, that should have something very things for the gang. It should have been the no-go. It should have been Rise in the Street. But it worked. They have a big fandom. They're already the most popular young couple in the show now. And they are pretty much the next generation of the show, along with Gabby and freaking Jake or Seth or whichever one it turns out to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tiggs, what about for you? Number three.
My number three? My Joshua Lewis and my Luke Shane.
Oh, don't even. Oh, Lord.
Cross Creek. I'm like, bullshit with Jeffrey O'Neill. With I'll never get that scene. That's one of my favorite scenes. They went to that lame ass production format and Cassie got a little bit of a why you always have to call it that? Why you always have to say that name like that? Joshua. You just said it's just a comedy as that. Because that's the thing. Bitch. I don't understand why they just waited until the very last minute to put the gas back together. That's the main reason they had to do that punk ass time jump in the last 30 minutes. Because it wasn't going to make sense if, Jeffrey's
going around trying to catch Anthony Reeves and said, oh, well, whatever. Come on, Josh. So they just have to do something to make sense of the whole stupid. Like, y'all should have been working on getting them back together. The minute the act fell down, that's when you should start.
Mm-hmm.
Or they should have started a year before. What? A second year before. Where they were doing that with Josh and Reeves' wife, and they were recreating the wedding and shit, and Jeffrey and Kathy were looking stupid. Because Josh and Reeves were making Google Eyes, that should have been the beginning. And probably just showing everyone other kids for that.
Well, coming in at number three for me is A Days of Our Lives couple, and the greatest Days couple of all time, in my opinion, John and his doc, Marlena. I mean, where do you even begin here? You know, from Marlena thinking he was Stefano, which I never understood that, all because she saw a tattoo, shit. All of a sudden, Stefano can walk right and he's got a six-pack. And then, you know, him being revealed to be who they all thought was Roman, and then he wasn't Roman, and then he was Forrest Alamein and everything else. And in the middle of it, they had Kristen and Susan and Mary Moira is Penelope. And, you know, when Eileen Davidson played 82 characters in the, you know, brother. And then, you know, they are the only couple to survive a devil possession. And, oh, God, I mean, John and Marlena, they're it. And, you know, when Marlena got out of that coma and she was looking flawless and she ran to John and Isabella was an afterthought like she always should be. No offense to you, John and Isabella fans. I just, whatever. But yeah, I mean, just amazing. John and Marlena will go down not only as one of the most legendary couples in soaps, but in my opinion, overall broadcast. I mean, just amazing. And to this day, we still get our John and our Doc together. And Marlena, as she eats a strawberry. It's perfect. Alan, who comes in at number two for you?
My Sharon is Big Dick Dummy Slut Nick. I think I'm a wrestler.
What?
Yeah, they...
Big Dick Dummy.
They're arguably bad for each other now. But I still want to love the end game. Because there's not so much chemistry. You just want them together. You don't really give a shit about Ray or Phyllis. Or whatever dumb character was being this week that you just want to die. But they're endgame.
There's a reason why. It took them four tries before they got Sharon Case. Gil Bell was determined to put Nicholas and Sharon together. I don't make
them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I survived through all of those shows.
including Monica Potter, who turned out to be a half-decent actress in mainstream.
Well, you know, it's just like when Brad Pitt was on Another World, they fired him because they thought he couldn't act. And, you know, it's just so funny how these stars blow up and they couldn't act when they were first on soaps. I always find that hilarious.
Well, Brad Pitt couldn't act. He was just fine as hell.
Well, I know, but see, you know, now he's one of the biggest movie stars, even though I never cared for any of his movies. You know, he's one of the biggest movie stars these days. So it's amazing to just see the transforming throughout the years. Tiggs, who comes in at number two for you?
My number two is my boa Garbrady.
Mm.
And his fancy face. Oh, damn it. Bo and Hope will always be my shit, even though allegedly they couldn't stand each other. I don't care.
Oh, Tiggs.
Bo and Hope was my shit.
We see each other. We see each other on this day.
My shit, I don't give a damn. Because damn it, allegedly Hillary Bill Smith and Bob Woods can stand each other on One Life to Live, and Bo and Hope are still my shit. I don't care. Do a job, damn it. Shit. Yeah, Bo and Hope was my shit. like, you know, Ernesto Toscano dropping her ass off in that bed of acid. And but yeah, like her walking around thinking she Gina, I just will never forget that scene when they were sitting in the Brady Pub and they opened up that goddamn
the box.
And Alice was reading off that damn note and Hope started remembering the words and I will never forget the look on Lisa Renner's face. When Billy knew at that moment she was fucked.
She was gone.
Oh.
She was done with.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh.
Step aside.
Damn it.
Sorry.
There's a reason why, like, I love Mr. John Wiley, the Lord knows I do, but there's a reason why I hope I'm the signature super cup for that goddamn show. There's a motherfucking reason. I've always said when Peter Ruckel left back in 2012, they should have recast. And now look.
They brought him back just to give him back
breaking rules. And to kill him the same way they killed off Lexi.
Oh my god.
Oh. Me off. And now they're just trying to tease some with her and Steve. You motherfuckers better not. don't make us, especially on days of our lives. Don't do that shit.
You're gonna be mad.
See, I don't like that. Steve would have never went there. No. She didn't learn that lesson. Nobody likes Shane and Kayla 25 years ago. Now she's sitting around Justin. Don't know about the fans, don't like that. But our super couple, especially on days, we like interlopers nobody cares about. We don't like super couples intermingling. We don't like that.
We can't have super couple
centers instead.
It doesn't go down.
Right, because one of the things was because on days, all the super couples were family. They were friends. It doesn't make sense. Steve would never do that to Bo. Bo's been allegedly dead and gone for 5 years. Steve would never do that. When Steve came back and Hope and Kayla talked shit about Bo just left his family, Steve was like, my friend wouldn't do no shit like that. And that motherfucker went and he found Bo. That motherfucker went and found, like, Bo wouldn't do no shit like that. He would have found that motherfucker. Come on, let's go home. Oh, piss Bo. Come on, let's go. they don't do that to each other. No. But I thought last week, I'm saying, even Earl about to start sniffing around my Hope. I don't like that shit. I don't like it at all. I didn't like her and Ray, but I damn sure don't like this. Man, like, it's so hard to find a man that got sexual chemistry with Christian Alfonso. Yeah, she is a woman of a certain age, but she's still fine as hell. What is the problem? I'm looking at it. Yeah, that's my number two. Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, really? I had no idea that was your number two. Rodrigo, what about you? What do you got?
Piggybacking off Tate, my number two was also Bo and Hope from Days. What can you say? Like, I go back and watch the old-ass YouTube clips of when Bo and Hope, when Peter Ethel and Christian Alfonso first got seen together, barred seen together, and you saw the magic and the innocence in those two, and you know, he's the bad boy with the, you know, driving the motorbike, and she's the goody two shoes, spoiled rich girl. And they're coming together, and like, at first they don't like each other, and then like, all of a sudden they start liking each other, and they're sneaking off, and Hope's giving Doug heart attacks, and she's sneaking off, going to have sex with Bo, and it's just an added fairy tale princess castle wedding. It was just a dream, and they just went back and forth. You know, they kept leaving the show, coming back, but there was still, the magic was still there between Bo and Hope. And one of the things I hated was when, you know, the sad storyline with Zach died. But the fact that Peter Ruckel and Christian Alfonso never got Emmy nominations for those performances alone. Go back to the YouTube clips of those two, and you see some acting. They may not like each other behind the scenes, but you couldn't tell in front of the camera because those two kept it. They kept it going. They kept it professional and did their job. You felt every scene right to the end when Hope held Bo dying in the park. Oh, that just tears me up. Fuck you. Who did that? Josh Griffin and Dina Higley. Fuck you both for that.
Yeah, they did.
Fuck you both for that.
They did.
That's just horrible the way they ended it. I just, happy 50th anniversary. Okay, thank you.
They copied and pasted Lexi Death on the head. Like, Lexi died that exact same way. Brain tumor, died in AIDS, arms in the park. They did the same fucking shit with Blonde Hope. They didn't even wasn't original with the shit.
I'm just like, why bring back Peter Regal just to just kill a mob? Y'all could have just had Bo just run off again or something. I mean, come on now. Anyway, Bo and Hope at number two forever.
Well, Dee, I'm forgetting. Did you do your number two already?
No.
Okay, go on ahead.
So, like, with my entire list, every single person that's on there that made my... It was all, have you made me cry? Did you make me feel something? So my number two, when I tell you, I have never... There's only one couple that I cried more over. And I don't be crying over fake fiction. You know, but that's how you know when the stuff is good. When you're sitting there and you are feeling every single emotion, like it was bad, it was wrong, it was an affair, it was tawdry, it was, those sex things were so smutty. Hillary and Devon are my number two. Like, I was like, Neil West, Neil who cares about Neil? Hillary and Devon are still it for me. Brighton and Michelle have that chemistry. They have that fire. They can be arguing and just going at each other. Hillary and Devon will be going at it with each other. The next thing you know, it's like, you're like, come on, you know y'all want to smash. Let's just do this. Let's just get it together. The push and the pull, and he's bad, and she's, you know, he's like, oh, you know, and she's just like, oh, you know. You're not supposed to like Hillary, but I fell in love with her. I fell in love with Hillary, and I fell in love with this couple together. They were magic. I'm like, they were the next Drew and Neil. Like, that was it for me, and I was just like, yes. I was raptured. Like, I have every single episode that they have ever been in together. I have it on the computer. I have it on DVD. Like, I have never been as enraptured in where they got together, I was like, yes. When they broke up, I mean, I suffered through Mariah with him and, Mariah. I had to suffer through that. And then now Young did such a good job getting them back together and making them find their way back together. And then they're going to have my baby. The internet was going stupid because we were excited. The Bond fans were happy because we were getting our kid. And then that fucking Mal Young went and killed off my girl, and I was crying with Phyllis. I was even crying in that scene with Hillary and Kane, and you know I can't stand Kane. Ugh. I was crying all the way through with her, with Shauna, and then when she lost that baby, and then with Brighton, they were sitting there, and they were, Brighton was in that hotel room, in that hospital room, and they're telling the story. She's telling the stories about the bees and the sisters, and then she just died. And I mean, I was sitting there crying. I was on a plane with the flight attendant, and I were crying together. That's how messed up I was behind this couple. Like, you know, you will never, ever, ever. Devon will never have anyone that he loves as much as Hillary. Y'all can push this Elena stuff as much as you want to, and I tried to give it the old college try, the baby. When Michelle came back as a ghost, I was like, even the ghost got it with him. What are you talking about? I'm just like, that's my couple. They will always be my couple. That is a hill that I am willing to die on. Hillary and Devon were everything to me. They were the only one couple that was just more than that, and that's just because it came first. I love Hillary and Devon.
They're
my number two.
Well, right now I seem to be having more mind issues than Dina Mergeron herself. Alan, did you go to?
What?
Did you go for number two as well?
Yes.
Okay, see, Lord, I don't. Maybe I got Caroline Brady's. I think I got Caroline Brady's Tappet syndrome. I don't know. coming in at number two for me was a couple previously mentioned, and that is Josh and Reva from Guiding Light, you know, her bud. you know, the story is quite amazing, in my opinion, because it started out with Reva being hired by Alan to break up Vanessa and Billy. And all of a sudden, right away, when they locked eyes for the first time, that history from childhood came back, and Josh and Reva fell in love once again. But then she married HB, and Josh became paralyzed, and we all know what happened next. It ain't no secret. I baptized myself the Salada Springfield. And through it all, I mean, you know, Reva being presumed dead for 5 years, the clone, the time traveling through, as Kim Zimmer puts it, they time traveled through Crystal Chappelle's boobs in a painting. I love it. And then, oh my gosh, Sunny and Salida and Mara and Shane, you know, their children and of course, my favorite Reva and Josh story of all time, crazy ass Annie Dutton coming after them. Oh, D, you know when she faked that Reva pushed her down those stairs? Oh, God.
What are you doing, Reva? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. When she went down the stairs, I was like, this is a bad bitch right here.
And then, oh, I love the scene where Annie was at Cross Creek and she took that axe to the fireplace mantle that had Reva and Josh's initials on it. Oh, God.
That was Cynthia Walker's Annie Riddle.
Yes.
That was Riddle.
You were there all along. Oh.
And that crazy Annie Dutton, man, I've never recovered from that.
Hmm. And then, you know, to this day, I still go to watch that scene of Reva driving off the bridge. I'm coming, bud! And of course, you know, like Reva, the signature color was red, so she was in a red car. I loved it. I mean, absolutely amazing. And, you know, of course, at the end, by not putting them together, because Ellen Wheeler, you know, only love can save the world, but it didn't save Guiding Light. And, you know, even though Kim Zimmer had to end that show, as Jamie Giddens would say, in a flip-flops in the moo-moo, I think the good years of Josh and Reva definitely outweigh the bad. And we got many, many good years of that couple.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Tiggs, take us to your number one pick and your secret honorable mention.
My number one is for all my children.
Ooh.
My Thaddeus Martin.
Ah.
My Dixie Cooley.
Oh.
If anybody knows me, knows I love Dixie Cooley's dirty motherfucking draw. Her cat was shit. I'm down with them. Goddamn, well, she's married to Adam and she had JR. Then he tried to drive her ass crazy and he put her ass in the old cave and Tad had to save her. And then when Tad was fighting with Blitz Clyde Tuggle and then they blew up on the damn bridge. He thought he was Ted Orsini from the Orsini family wine
vid.
And then when that nasty, nasty, nasty live Kobe came and fucked everything up and Dixie had that awful haircut and she came back and she had that curl shit. Fuck ass David Hayward. That's why I never liked David Hayward, this stank motherfucker. I only liked him with Hannah. His funky ass came, but he was my favorite in the end. But that bitch ass neighbor Tavis killed my girl with the punk ass pancake. You kiss my ass, you bragging, fucking, trifling bitch. Fucked up my fuck you, bitch.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck you was doing, bitch? You gave her a whole return story, and she told your bitch ass that. Goddamn, I was fucking down with when Kelly Guinness on the show, and it was alluding to the fact that she lived in Dixie. I was down for it. I wanted my together forever, that. Goddamn.
I wanted that.
I'm like, you know what? I just want my together forever. I don't give a fuck how I get. And then when the show got canceled, and Lorraine Broderick said, I'm going to make this shit right, I said, girl, make it right.
Look, as soon as you said them, I was like, let me get my griddle out and make me some pancakes.
See, you're an asshole, Jamie.
You're so funny.
Look, no, I love them too, but you know, so All My Children was my first soap that I ever watched, and my mom, I'm not shitting you, hated Tad and Dixie. Oh my God. She could not stand Katie McLean as Dixie. But you know, over on As the World Turns, oh, my mom lived for Katie as Rosanna. But I loved Tad and Dixie. I did. I thought they were the heart of that show for quite a while. But anyway, Tiggs, who was your honorable mention?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a different one, but I'm changing.
Okay.
My honorable mention was going to be Ryan and Jillian.
Oh.
But no, my real honorable mention is Tom and Margo Hughes from As the World Turns.
Yes.
I love me some Tad, Lord. I love me some Tom and Margo. And mainly because, I mean, I think they were the only couple, like, Tom and Margo were married for 27 years. They never broke them up. Tad, Lord. Tom cheated on Margo. She cheated on Tom. And they had babies and shit like that. But they were married for 27 years, never broke up, never divorced, never did nothing. We had about 45 times, about 36 Margo. Good test time. Good test time. That's my honorable mention. I love this Tom Margo.
Well, that's a really good pick, and really the only couple I can think of, super couple, that endured so many different incarnations, but still kept going so strong. And then, you know, Tiggs, I just got to say real quick before we go to D, I think the best story they ever endured was Margot's rape. I mean, Tom was there for her through when Margot thought she would have AIDS, and amazing.
That was a great story, and a highlight for me. That got the fucking around the
case. Oh Lord, who's moving stuff in the background?
She pulled that gun. She said, "Not my baby. Not my baby." She's gonna blow Emily's motherfucking head clean and off. I said, that's right.
She should have shot her in the foot herself. That's what she deserved.
Her husband and her son, oh, bitch, you're gonna die. You die if I catch you. See, and this is exactly why isn't Noah doing fucking Grace Stearns? Why isn't he? Because people are stupid.
That's what should be happening.
Well, Dee, tell us, who's coming in at number one for you, plus your secret honorable mention?
My number one couple, when I tell you, I've watched those for a long time, but the couple that broke my heart, made me cry, made me fall in love, and they broke my heart again, keep on breaking my heart, oh my God, Sonny and Brenda on General Hospital.
Oh my God, Dee.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sonny and Brenda
Yes.
That was probably the last good location shoot General Hospital ever had. And they were all from here to eternity on that beach. Their last date, when she was wearing that red dress and she had that flower in her hair and they were sitting there dancing, and then he left her at the altar, and then he said, bitch ass
know, the night they were supposed to be their honeymoon off in a hotel, having all those flashbacks. And then she's sitting there and she's just like saying that he was her drug. And she's like, you always leave me standing in the rain when I'm telling you, like, that was their thing. And Sunny, I was there for the wrong. And then now he with that she beats Carly. And I'm just like, that to me, you will never be able to touch Sunny and Belinda. You will never, ever, ever be able to top them right there. They will always be it for me. That is a hill I am willing to die on. Vanessa Marcel knows that's the hill I'm willing to die on. I'm like, who do I need to murk over there at ABC to get you back on this show? I need this. They are my number one. My honorable mention, I was just kind of like, at first, I was gonna, you know, I was like, maybe Caleb and Libby just because they're bad. Or I was like, Ethan and Teresa because, you know, Teresa, my girl. Hey, yeah. And I love goal-oriented people.
Hey, Sabine.
All my children makes you cry.
No,
Timmy died. I ain't cried a single damn time on Passions. I'm keeping it real. I ain't cried a single damn time. Other than Timmy died. But I'm saying all my children make you cry all the time. And when Greenlee having to live without Leo, I was in tears. But you know what? Teresa got her happy ending, and so she just gave us hope for everybody. That you can be a gold digger, and you could, if you stuck to a dream, she said from the beginning, she was going to marry that man, and she married that man. That is gold-oriented.
Okay.
Achieving your dreams by any means necessary. I'm sad she was like the Black Panther.
She was just everything. She was just amazing. And so I couldn't pick between the two of them. But I mean, I liked them for different reasons. But just the way that these couples can just pull you in, especially when you were determined that you weren't gonna like them, because I was supposed to love Glenn. Glenn was the one being wronged, and you know how Anna got cheated for the fact that I was rooting for Teresa. Let you know what time it was.
So Glenn, fuck that bitch. When her Rebecca's funky ass that they emailed to the staff board, and that's the fuck with. Oh, raggedy bitch. Fuck
her. I would have put that on a t-shirt.
Well, Alan, who do you have at number one, and who is your honorable mention?
I don't even like her number one at all. It's Natalie and Jared when my wife left.
Oh, God. Alrighty.
Yes, I know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the chat.
Oh, my God.
Look, so...
Come on, let Al have his list.
No, here's what's going to happen. On the next episode of the chat, I'm going to pull a Barbara Walters and say, the network gave Alan the chance to leave peacefully. And we have ended his contract.
Bitch, and roll myself set up. Natalie was the rich girl who was really on the outside, when she was shoulder. Jared was a schemer who pretended to be her fucking uncle. And she would sit wet for him while she thought he was her uncle. And it was hot. And the fucking women, everyone thought their husband was hot too. And I still love to be even more Nash with the like damn skylight. Fuck Nash in his fucking vineyard. You can rot in hell. Fuck Nash. But anyway.
Wait till I find you, Alan. Wait till I find you.
Well, look. Well, Alan, who do you have for your honorable mention?
Chad and Abby, all days are alive.
Okay.
Here in the Pacific, not Casey Dietrich's Chad, where he fucking sends that feline ace theater in bed. Not Chad and freaking, well, not some furry Abigail. Finally, I like my Abby Beach, Cock Goblin, Kate Manzie's Abigail. They're hot. She has that fucking bubble butt. They have chemistry, even though I pretty much think I can't stand her or her wife. And I love them.
See, Alan creeped. The real Alan came back.
He can't Jared Nash as number one over Chad Nash. And it's just like, I like Chad Nash. He's a big, I mean, I like the name, like, whatever.
like Keith and Julie. I do not like them together. But you chose Beth.
We love you, Alan. Look, we love you. We love you, Alan. But, you know, I'm...
you love what you love, okay? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, yeah. So, Rodrigo, who comes in as number one for you, plus your honorable mention?
Number one, I'm with Dee, Sunny, and Brenda, General Hospital. Number one, I ran home from high school to go see what the hell Sunny and Brenda had going on, from Puerto Rico to the wire scene. Oh, that still hurts my soul, Claire LeBine. God rest your soul, Claire LeBine, but that was some shit you did. You broke my heart. You broke my heart with those things. And the way that Vanessa Marcel and Maurice Bernard played those things, and Maurice played those things real well. And then he respected Vanessa after that scene, because Vanessa says, like, you know, Maurice wasn't really feeling her in the beginning with the acting. But when they had that wire scene, and Brenda was screaming and crying, and, oh, she had all the respect for her. Right. It was just awesome. The only thing I didn't like was this, damn you, Bob Guza, for this stupid balcony shit. Bob Brenda back in.
That was some stupid shit. I didn't know.
We got our wedding out of it, which is good. I got the wedding, but Brenda to let Carly just come up to her house and talk to her any way she wanted.
Hell no. That wasn't my Brenda, because my Brenda was kidnapped, because my Brenda would have snatched that she bitch up.
She fucked up everything. She fucked up Ryan and me. She fucked up Cass and Frankie. She killed all the goddamn quarterbacks. She killed the weirdo.
She raped my poor Eden. See, I'm convinced that, you know, it was really Jill Farron Phelps in the gynecologist mask. You know, it was really Jill Farron Phelps who raped Eden, not her gynecologist. Jill said, you know what? Jill said to that actor, look, I'll pay you your full rate for the day if you let me just get in there in that scene and go with you.
Jill, why is she in the pig?
Please make sure that you find him at the best.
Well, my number one is the greatest couple to ever do it in daytime, and that is the tried and true Victor and Nikki from The Young and the Restless. I mean,
I owe myself $20.
Who? No, you already know. I tweeted.
I already knew.
Somebody was gonna do Victor and Nikki. I knew somebody was
gonna have Victor and Nikki. And he's gonna have Josh Friedel on this list. I knew he's.
You guys know those are my favorite. Don't even play. You know. But
damn, I literally wrote y'all list out and other than, you know, messing it up with that redhead sheet. I pretty much spot on with all of your lists. But go ahead, Casey. I knew you were coming with that Victor Lunch doing.
Yes, so, you know, and I'm going to take it all the way back. You know, Nikki was not going to let Ashley Abbott take her man for long because Nikki coughed a little and threw her hair back and looked all pale and said, Victor, I'm still sick, even though she wasn't. And, you know, this to me, even after all the ups and downs, this to me stands out. When Victor finally won Jabot Cosmetics from the Abbotts, but he told Nikki that he would give everything up if she would just come back to him and divorce Jack. Come on now. Come on. Nobody did it better. And then, you know, I'm going to give this shout out to everybody who likes a good psycho. Diane wasn't the only psycho who came between them. Veronica Landers, when she shot up Nikki, guess who rushed right to the hospital? Victor. You know, it's really amazing. And through all the marriage.
That just goes to show. Warren Arnie's a good psycho. They need a good psycho.
They need somebody to get
up there. You for a three-month arc that's going to tear, rash, shoot, slice up every goddamn body. A good actor now. Just paralyze General City.
Nikki is bold, yo. She started out on a pole and now she's
yes, here. Yes. Look, and Victor was in there with the ever so in the closet Colonel Douglas, and Colonel was like, oh, I can't wait to see the show, old lad, and Victor was like, oh, look at her at the bayou, you know. I love, and even through Victor's epilepsy and Nikki shaking all the damn time under Jill Farron Phelps, look, she was probably shaking because she didn't know that if Jill was going to kill her or not. It wasn't the MS, it was job security. But I loved it.
Survived that trash bomb with Paul. I don't know who that was, but y'all can take
it. I don't know who you're talking about, Dee. I just don't know who you're talking about. That Nikki's children.
I don't know who you're talking about either. It didn't happen.
Yeah, Nikki's children are Victoria and Nicholas, and that one baby buried deep in the ground with Jack. I don't know who you're talking about. But yeah, and you know, this is my couple. I mean, you know, I tweet it every day. You guys know, Nictor for life, and I will never ever give up on them. Just, love my Victor.
I get it. I mean, Casey was one point of Victor and Nicky's old ass was the sexiest couple on the show. I get it.
She was like, oh, look, I'll tell you what, though.
I was like, what in the world?
the world am I watching?
And Nikki could roll those R's like nobody else. Every Friday, she'd be like, Melody Thomas Scott, you could tell she was enjoying that.
Boy, they made Mr. Swingers.
And we all remember, you know, the fights. You know, I have to say, Victor and Nikki, I think, have the best couple fights in daytime history.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, we remember that scene where they were in the Newman Ranch and Victor had enough. He picked up that crystal glass from the bar cart, threw it across the room, and... and then when Victor said, "Why do you play these games, my baby?"
the only people that could fight like Victor and Nikki that came in even close were Jack and Carly and Joshua Reed.
True.
Them motherfuckers could fight.
Yes. You know, the biggest obstacle.
He goes right for the gut. He just cuts you to the core.
The biggest obstacle that they ever overcame was Nikki being a serial killer for all these years. You know, let me tell you, I don't know a couple who has survived so many killings through the years. Nikki done murdered up half the cast from the 90s and the early 2000s.
I'm just saying, drunk Nikki is the best Nikki. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I really wish, like, Nikki should have been just, like, a Nicole Walker-type funny drunk. Not some, like, you know, damsel, dramatic, Lifetime movie to be drunk. We need funny drunks. Every drunk ain't got to be all dramatic and shit. Oh, you're going to kill somebody. No.
I mean, we know she can do funny drunk, because, I mean, that video got posted to her on that Tito's doing her flamingo dance, so she's a funny drunk. I'm like, I don't know why they don't just go there. Yeah, they gotta be dramatic.
And then, of course, my honorable mention has to go to a couple that was together for 30 years, and that is Alan and Monica Quatermain on the General Hospital.
Oh,
yep.
Yes.
But and, that's 30 years, but whatever. You know, General Hospital burned in hell for what they did to Alan. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I mean, suck my ass, Jill Farrah Phelps. I mean, yeah, Jill Farrah Phelps, suck my ass. I hate you. But yeah, I mean, you know, just after everything Alan and Monica went through the years, from trying to get Tracy from butting out of their marriage where she wasn't wanted, the affairs from Susan to Sean to Lucy Coe, and of course, one of the best affairs of all time, when Ned and Monica did the dirty. Oh, God. Oh, my Lord, Ned and Monica.
They did the dirty, dirty.
Yes.
I will never hear them talking about how she's always like, "It's my house. I gave it to you."
And it's so pretty because even to this day, even with Alan being gone, anytime somebody says something, "It's my house," and Alan gave it to you, goddamn it. Well, mainly, she only means something Tracy said. Yeah.
Well, and what I loved is, you know, at the end of the day, you could tell they were really there for each other, but it was definitely going to always be a War of the Roses type romance. But they were always there for each other. And one of my favorite clips to watch is when Monica was going through her cancer and she was worried that the intimacy had gone out of her marriage and Alan didn't want to have sex with her anymore. It was so real. And Monica dropped that robe and said, "Can you love a woman without breast?" And that, to me, is one of the most amazing, realistic moments that you don't get in soaps anymore. You know, to actually have that real marital conversation, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people forget, Luke and Laura were not the first to take this show to number one. Nope, the characters of Alan, Monica, Rick, and Leslie first took this show to number one. And I'm going to leave it there. Dee, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me fighting with Made by Live Trans at
And Alan, where can they find you on Twitter?
Well, my fellow here, and now they chance to find me at
God damn it, Alan. And the always so loud but ever so lovely Tiggs, where can they find you?
The best, 11985. I know I've been just kind of like neglecting y'all, but no, I'm going to catch up on Dave, and I'm going to catch up on Wanda, and give my critiques and shit. Now, child, I'm bold, and y'all may be on your own with that shit, but I may do a little something. It's still on my DM now, child. I may do a little something. But I am going to catch up on Dave and do some wine. I don't know about the rest of that shit now.
And finally, the ever so graceful Rodrigo. Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at RodrigosBros81.
And you can find me at KCS Hutch. And you can get connected with our show on Facebook and Twitter. All you have to do is just search for @thechat_podcast. And for the next 2 weeks, we are not doing our normal episodes. We have two major interviews with some of your favorite daytime divas of the past. We don't want to reveal them quite yet, but stay tuned.
Stay tuned, y'all, and if y'all got any suggestions about any top fives y'all want to see us do or anything like that, just let us know, tweet any of us, and then we'll discuss it, because if that shit whack, we ain't doing it. But if it's cute, we may talk about it.
Wash your hands and stay away from Natalie and shit.
Okay, wash your hands, wash your ass, wear gloves, wear masks, and stay away from Natalie and Jared.
Or if you're like Alan.
Natalie forever.
If you're like Alan, you're going to get somebody to wash your ass for you.
Okay. Thanks, my life. Got to do it until November.
And November 2020. We got a new episode for next 6 months, y'all. So go ahead and watch Save the Money. Take your ass on the NBC app and watch them. Because if y'all like, y'all government like my government, you got to cut in every goddamn day and tell us nothing. So, yeah, go ahead. Wait until 8 p.m. Eastern. 7 Central, 5 Pacific time, and you watch the days of our lives, goddammit. And if you ain't ever watched the episode before, they got a whole bunch of episodes you can catch up on, goddammit. You get in, goddammit. You watch it. You watch that shit.
Do it. Alrighty. Have a good night, listeners. And we will see you next week.
And if you need any.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Shout out to Dan Crow, my homeboy, over at Motherfucking Self Central. He got all the character biographies and shit.
God damn it, Diggs.
Tiggs,
you know I didn't. Tiggs. You know I didn't.
While we go like shit, Tiggs.
Tiggs, you know I didn't get one of them damn stimulus checks. You know I didn't get a stimulus check, so. Well, anyway.
That gotta be new, because I've been married for 2 years. That motherfucker can wait.
I do, since we're still on the air for. Since we're still on the air for some ungodly reason, because executive producer Jill Farron Tiggs had to take over, I do want to say real quick, we will miss Soaps in Depth. It's been a great run of those 27 years. Thank you to Richard and the entire staffing department for giving us so many great issues. And it's going to be hard out there to now only have one Soap Mag selection. But thank you for all of those great issues and all of those great memories.
Yes,
they're still online.
Real cute, girl.
Thank you. They are still online.
Yes, still online. Yeah.
So they're not completely dead.
And it's right there.
Just part of it.
Alrighty, Tiggs, are you done?
I'm done. I was just trying to give a shout out to Soaps and Dips. I stopped Soaps and Dips. Soap Central and Dips Control, the bitches, you know. If y'all know some bitches on Dave, y'all can always go on that website and find out who it is.
Alrighty, good night, everybody. And listeners, we will see you next week.
Oh my God, I'm still recording that shit.